Thank you. I'm from the Agriculture Canada Research Station in Agassiz, BC. Oh, sorry. How do you advance it?
Just click on the mouse or use the buttons either way.
Okay. Just a brief outline. I'll explain the forage dairy system where we're working, which is in Agassiz. It's about 3 hours north of Seattle. It's a temperate, high rainfall climate. Why we're terminating the grass stand, the measurements we're doing on that grass stand when it's terminated, and just some results and conclusions. So the picture here shows a typical valley bottomland which is the temperate rainfall climate where we're high moisture mostly through the winter. We get about 1.5 to 1.8 meters of rainfall annually. The grass stands are used primarily for dairy production, for grass, for silage, pasture, and hay. And the dairy system is defined as a high input, high output system. And feeding is mainly based on the grass silage, grass corn silage system. Okay, it's reversed what I'm used to. Okay. Locally, the grass is either orchard grass, tall fescue, or perennial ryegrass, and typically the grass stands are in production for, on average, 3 to 6 years. This is one farm close by where they're rotating from left to right of this roadway. So at the moment, they're in silage production, and then in 3-4 years, they'll put that into grass stand, rotate back. The termination of the grass stand is part of the life cycle of this grass corn silage system. The one on the right there shows this grass stand that's in decline. There's a lot of weeds, and it's in decline for various reasons. Termination of the grass stand is usually done, it's either fall sprayed with Roundup and then spring tilled, or just spring tillage. They may not spray any herbicide. And many of them are used as a combination of spring spraying with herbicide and then tillage. So in the past, a lot of the nitrous oxide emissions have been measured just on either just a corn stand or just on a grass stand. And there hasn't been any measurements based on what happens to nitrous oxide emissions when that grass stand is terminated and either rotated back into grass or rotated into corn. So in this transitional stage, there's not a lot of measurements. So it's part of the overall system evaluation of nitrous oxide emissions to look at the measurements at the stand termination. And this is an experiment that we did in the past. It's over 105 days, and generally we're getting low emissions on grass. So it's, you can see on the bottom there, with or without manure, we're getting measurements of over 105-day period, about 0.1 kilos of nitrous oxide up to 0.45 kilos of nitrous oxide in. Compared to bare soil, which would be going into corn, the highest was up to 2.2 kilos over that period. So under this, if you look at just this data, you'd think you'd give a lot of emissions that would be attributed to the corn portion of the system, and you'd attribute a lot of low emissions to just the grass stands. Locally, there's a lot of reasons why the grass stand is terminated, but typically for our area, it's caused by winter damage, flooding, equipment damage, a lot of smothering with manure occurs, and diseases. When the grass stand is renovated, it maintains the higher overall productivity of that stand. When it's put into either a new grass stand or a rotation of a poor grass stand into corn, maintains the high productivity of the farming system, which is essential for getting a high input, high output dairy production. What gave us the opportunity to measure the nitrous oxide emissions was we used a long-term experiment, which was started in 1994, and it consists of 10 replicated manure and fertilizer treatments, and where we're looking at the long-term accumulation and fate of the nutrients. And it's the only long-term replicated manure treatment in Canada, and there's very few such long-term replicated manure trials worldwide. So in the past, this trial had been renovated once in 2002 after being started in 1994, and we're in the process of renovating again, and half of it's been renovated in 2011 this year and planned for next year too. The current study terminated sub-portions of this long-term trial in 2008, 2009, 2010. We're measuring nitrous oxide with static chambers, 60 by 60 centimeter, vented with a water seal, and we're taking four gas samples at 15-minute intervals. In these trials, we took 18 measurements in 2009, and 19 in each of 2009 and 2010. This is the overview of the historical treatments. It's just a shot down the original long-term plots, which are 3 meters wide and 200 meters long, and we use sub-portions of that. So each plot is 3 meters wide by 6 meters long. So it shows the historical manure, fertilizer, and control treatments since 1994, and then it shows the new stand termination methods, which were applied in fresh areas from 2008 to 2010. So it's a 3x3 factorial with four replications. This shows a shot of the nitrous oxide chambers as they went in right after the applications. So the tillage one on the bottom left, top is there's the control, so just straight grass, and it has been clipped because we have a problem with the lids if the grass grows too much. So we do measure the yield of grass that comes off that. The bottom is turning yellow from the application of the herbicide. So total emissions overall for the each of the measurement periods, generally spray is greater than tillage, which is greater than control for the current treatments. So you can see the those effects summarized by control, spray, and tillage. And within that, from looking at the historical treatments, the manure, of course, is greater than the fertilizer, which is greater than the control. The next slide just presents the same data, but grouped differently. On the bottom, the historical treatments are there, and each of the bars represents the current treatments. So for total emissions over each of the periods, the spray gives more nitrous oxide emissions than tillage. But it varies over the time period. So in the time period, this shows just 2008, there's an accumulation. It shows right here where right after April 22 was the tillage and spray event. We're measuring daily or every 2 days right after the event, and it shows the immediate increase in nitrous oxide emissions from the tillage. But as time goes on, those for total emissions, that becomes less, and the control becomes the significant contributor to total emissions. This is the same graph on the left here. I've just presented them all on the same scale. So this is 2008, and then the other 2 years, 2009, 2010. It's the same pattern. Initially, there's an increase of emissions from tillage, and then the spray yields the greatest emissions over that period. We measured a lot of other factors. We measured bulk density, soil nitrate, soil ammonia, root cores. I'm just showing that for the year in 2008, there is a greater increase in the soil nitrate immediately after the tillage, which is to be expected because it's releasing all those accumulated nutrients. And that was why initially the nitrous oxide emissions were higher from the till. And even though sprayed emissions were lower through most of this, there was still an overall higher total from spray. We also use resin strips. This just presents the accumulation of the nitrate end that we recovered from the resin strips. And over that total period, it shows that there was more nitrate recovered and ammonia recovered. I haven't got that one here from the tillage compared to the spray. So over time, from the historical treatments, we've got an accumulation of nutrients from the manure, greater than fertilizer, greater than control. And when the stand is terminated, we're getting more nutrient release from the tillage, which is greater than the spray. But the nitrous oxide emissions are greater under spray compared to tillage. And we believe that this is because under the tillage events, there's a lower bulk density from the tillage, lower moisture content, and less denitrification, which results in obviously less nitrous oxide. So when we're consider the entire system of what's going on when we're measuring the nitrous oxide from grass stands and corn stands. So this information from Agassiz is being contributed to a national ammonia nitrous oxide inventory, and Agassiz in BC has a different climate than the rest of Canada, so it provides information for dairy regions different from the rest of Canada. And it's being used in Ottawa for calibration and new subroutines for the DNDC model and the Descent for nitrous oxide. And it's also being contributed to the Lethbridge HOLUS model. So that's it. Thank you.
You've done a much better job than I did of keeping the time, so we have ample time for questions.
Directly look at CO2 fluxes as well.
We measure that. We do collect the CO2, but because we're using a 15-minute interval, I don't think that that data gives a true idea of the flux. We'd have to cut down to way shorter collection interval times. So I know, in short, no. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're advocating that to decrease nitrous oxide, you want to not spray, you want to do tillage. Is that the conclusion?
No. I mean, this. It's more like evaluating what's happening under that system. So if you're tilling, then it would have less ammonia, less nitrous oxide emissions. There'll be more ammonia and nitrate in the soil, but that doesn't because you've got better aeration, you're not producing nitrous oxide from that as much. So it's more evaluating what's going on in the system. So if guys are just going to spray and let it sit all winter long, then that may produce more nitrous oxide than if they spray and till in spring. So if we didn't measure the combination of spray followed by tillage fairly soon. But the practice of fall spraying and letting that grass crop die over the winter, that would contribute to more nitrous oxide emissions. So it's more evaluating what happens to total emissions at stand termination. Because if we measure just straight grass and corn, it looks like the grass system is doing very well with low emissions. But at the end of that lifetime, there is a bump, there's a spike of emissions coming off at the end of that lifetime. So that's more the message than necessarily the immediate method of termination.
Any other questions? I have one, I guess. Have you been able to think of a physiological reason why the spray differed from the tillage?
Well, under the spray, there was higher bulk density, higher moisture content, and overall average lower temperature. So there was more denitrification underway. So compared to under the till, where the bulk density was different. Yeah, so,
thank you very much, Derek.
Okay, thanks.